Again, appreciate the guys that fill in. I know they have things that are more than worthwhile to say, and appreciate the efforts they go through. For my part, we're in cults right now. We've been through Roman Catholicism with pretty good care, and some of it was likely familiar to most of you, but that's just fine. What we're doing now is Jehovah's Witnesses, and we studied their history and so on. We're at this point going through and answering their basic beliefs. The Jehovah's Witnesses are a good place to start because, of course, among other things, they don't believe in the Jesus Christ being God. Well, they have that in common with a lot of cults. And so, again, we're taking a pretty good swath of time here to deal with the deity of Jesus Christ as well as the deity of the Holy Spirit, which is important. And then we'll continue on. But there's probably a couple more weeks left of the JWs, and we're going to pick back up where we left off last time, talking about the deity of Christ. It's a temptation to go back and pick up exactly or to review more than I can. But we're just going to go on from where I left off. Let's take some snapshots here of what is the Bible really teaches versus what JWs teach. JWs teach that Jesus Christ was a God. He was a created God. He was a lesser God than God. God created him. They do not believe that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. When they or Mormons say that they've received Christ as Savior, or when they say that they believe that Jesus was the Son of God, they're playing a semantical game. They don't mean what you mean when you say that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They mean he's a lesser God. They mean that he is not part of a Godhead. In fact, they know nothing of a Godhead. They claim it's a terrifically confusing doctrine, which is nonsense. It's just not that confusing. But anyway, let's pick back up where we left off last time. Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 7. I'm just showing you a fairly exhaustive set of passages that show you that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. We studied that verse, I believe, last time. No, we didn't. It's coming up. But that Jesus Christ was God. If you'll take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The JW Bible actually supports these readings, but they don't honor them. Isaiah chapter 7, that is, I'm saying that you could prove out of a JW Bible, if you knew what you were doing, that the JWs were wrong. So if the JWs were really reading their Bibles, they could come to a knowledge of the truth, even though they're dealing with a corrupt Bible. But here we go, Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, you know what Emmanuel means, I'm sure, but just in case you didn't, Matthew tells us, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and all this is in a JW Bible, the New World Translation. But in verse 23 of Matthew 1, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Well, then how isn't Jesus Christ God? If you are a JW and if you do have a New World Translation and you do read Matthew, then what's the problem? Emmanuel means God with us. And so Jesus Christ was God. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. Acts chapter 20, go down to verse 28. It's just not a hard doctrine at all. It's not a hard concept to grasp that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, that he was truly and holy God while at the same time a subordinate son. God the Father in the Trinity is the first part. Jesus Christ the second, the Holy Spirit the third. At the same time, the Holy Spirit is as much God as Christ was, and Christ as much God as God is. I'm sorry, but your body, soul, and spirit, and your body, soul, and spirit are as much you, any one part, as another part. And, you know, say, well, I'm confused about that. Well, just don't let it freak you out. It's just, that's the way it is. You know, I bet you can go flip on a light switch without thinking about how those electrons are moving through the wires and lighting up the little. You do just fine on other stuff that's confusing. Right? So, I mean, don't tell me that you know how all the chemistry works that you use day by day. So it's just not that tough. Look in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, talking to bishops, talking to pastors, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Well, if you read that like just like it stands, it's saying that God purchased the church with his own blood. So since God didn't die, since Jesus Christ, the Son, died, when he shed his blood, he shed God's blood. That wasn't a man's blood. That was God's blood. Now, let me read you out of the New World Translation. Pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, to shepherd the congregation of God, which he purchased with the blood of his own Son. See that? It's a very semantical, rhetorical type thing. It's just a little slip of the knife and things are removed and you jostle them around and pretty soon Christ isn't God. But the Bible says that he purchased the church with his own blood, that God did that. And since God didn't die, Jesus Christ died, Christ shed God's blood. And the JWs mess it up. Take your Bibles, turn on down to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1 and Psalm 45. Hebrews 1 and Psalm 45. Psalms 45 first. Now, JW or not, you should have enough material tucked away in your memory. Or else an index card somewhere tucked in your Bible, the back of your Bible, where you can go toe-to-toe with somebody on the deity of Christ at any time. You may not have an exhaustive list of everything we are listing here tonight, but among the things that you should prepare yourself to defend, of all the things, is the deity of Christ. Because one thing that all true cults do, just about, is mess with the deity of Christ. The Catholics argued about it throughout the Dark Ages. And, you know, in a general sense, they kind of have it right. Of course, they have so much other stuff wrong. But in general, that second tier of cults generally all mess at some point with the deity of Jesus Christ. There are even some Pentecostal groups that do that. I'm not saying all. I'm just saying there are some Pentecostal groups that mess with the deity of Christ. And so it's, for some reason, a hot button topic. You know that if you read the first couple of verses of 1 John 1, where he that confesseth, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, but is the spirit of the Antichrist. And so there's an issue somehow with this matter that you need to be able to defend on a spur of the moment. And whether that means having some things that you know by nature, you know, now hopefully it's second nature, tucked away, or whether you need an index card in the back of your Bible with some key points written down, you need to be able to defend your Savior. But anyway, Psalm 45. Psalm 45, go down to verse 6. Now watch. Thy throne, O God. So God is being addressed directly. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, do you see that? God has a God. A capital G God has a God. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now, you could come to the easy conclusion that the God that the psalmist is addressing is, of course, Jesus Christ. But just to make sure you get it, look at Hebrews chapter 1, where it's directly addressed. Hebrews chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, that is, folks, that passage written back in Psalm 45, 6 and 7, is written to whom? It's written to the Son. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Did you see that? The Son is God. The Son is addressed as God. The G is a capital G. The Son is God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus Christ, capital G God, has a God. God the Father. Right? It doesn't make him a subordinate created God. It makes him, we know, equal with God, part of the Godhead, which JWs will not allow. He is God manifest in the flesh. Yes, sir? First begotten, Jesus Christ was God's only begotten Son. He was the only Son brought through a woman's womb that was begotten by God in that manner. Yes. Yes. I understand. First of all, I would run, beginning in verse 8, I would run, given that he's addressed as God, the Son's addressed as God, I would then run that passage to the scepter. Let me see if I can find it. Is it Numbers 24? Numbers 24. If you went back and taught Psalm 45 and Hebrews 1 and broke it all down, it's Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. For instance, it says his scepter, verse 8 of Hebrews 1, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Well, in verse 17 of Numbers 24, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star, capital S, out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel that shall smite the corners of Moab. That's Jesus Christ. So I'd start with all that, I guess, Abel. And a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, he's God, even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. It's just saying that Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels when he was begotten into the world, but he was still elevated above any of his mortal fellows. So as far as making, that casting a shadow on his deity, I don't think so at all. I mean, I could see how you might think so, but I don't. Somebody, again, would have to, by faith, just dismiss that because it just doesn't follow with the rest of the passage. Okay. Make sure. Yeah, okay. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Any more questions on that? Yes, sir, brother. Yeah, there you go. That'll work for sure. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. That'll work. Okay, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. These passages work for anybody as far as trying to prove the deity of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, and let's go down to verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, changed in many new Bibles. By the way, the blood is gone in many. But verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He was firstborn is the only begotten in the sense that he came through, that God came through a woman's womb. He was the only, he's the first begotten that way, the firstborn that way. He's also the firstborn from the dead. And of course, he is our leader. We are now born again in creatures ourselves spiritually. And so he's the first begotten that way. Verse 16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Well, in the beginning, God created. But who created? Jesus Christ. Guess what? Jesus Christ is God. It's just not that difficult. Now, Colossians 1:16 in the JW Bible. Because by means of him, all other things were created in the heavens and on the earth, the things visible and the things invisible, whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities. All other things have been created through him and for him. Now that's not, that didn't say that he created them. It says that God created them through him. So he's the agent of creation to the JWs, but as far as being the God that created, as far as being the God for whom they're made, they don't believe that. And they don't believe it because they dilly-dally with the Scriptures and mess the Scriptures up to benefit their position. And I'll tell you what, if you want to see somebody that does that besides a JW, I dare you to go pick up Rick Warren's book called The Purpose-Driven Life. That guy quotes every perversion available to prove everything that he proves, which is heresy. If you want to see how it works in Christian circles that aren't usually considered cultic, go get the purpose, go check The Purpose-Driven Life out of the library and see what Rick Warren did with new versions. You can mess yourself entirely up. You go to a church that goes, that has about 15 new versions being read constantly, they don't even have a chance of being right. Anyway, that's a side note, I suppose. But look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Christ is God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, I guess. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So Christ was the agent of it, but it said that God created the heavens and the earth. And Colossians said it was Christ that did it. Now, let me just show you what they stumble over. And this shows you that the Bible is a trap. If you don't build on the right foundation, you run across a verse that seems to justify your perverted position, and it'll mess you up if you're not careful. You've got to start at the ground level, begin with Christ, begin on the foundation, lay the first course, lay the second course, the third course. Do it carefully. Base what you believe on something else that you know is right on backwards. Because if you start drawing false conclusions and just taking interpretations willy-nilly, you're going to get messed up. For instance, Revelation chapter 3. There's not a JW in the world that doesn't choke to death on this verse. Revelation chapter 3, go down to verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. They take that to mean that Christ was the first thing God created. That's what a JW believes. Okay, but from what you've seen here just out of Colossians 1, and you'll see it more in John 1 in a second, Hebrews chapter 1, you see that Christ, instead of being the first thing God created, that Jesus Christ simply began the creation. It was Him that began the creation, the beginning of the creation of God. You can choke to death on that little preposition there. But you know that's right from the rest of the Scriptures. You cannot take that Scripture isolated and figure it out. Right? Okay, keep rolling here. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The classic of all the verses that show Christ's deity. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifest in the flesh. JW Bible, indeed, the sacred secret of this godly devotion is admittedly great. He was made manifest in flesh. He, not God. I've been made manifest in flesh. I'm manifest in the flesh. Who's manifest in the flesh? Well, God was manifest, and they don't say God, they say He who. And so that's how it's done. Now take your Bibles back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, in the beginning was the Word, capital W. That matters. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, unless you're a JW. Which says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, small g. It's Greek nonsense. And they'll go, and because you're intimidated by Greek, talk about a bunch of stuff that you probably don't understand, and it's just a lie, it's just not true. God was manifest in the flesh, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. So that Word, capital W, was God, and it was there from the beginning. Was there in the beginning. Verse 3, all things were made by Him, by the Word. The subject is the Word, not God. Right? You can't separate God the Father out and make the antecedent God the Father. All things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. So that goes back to Colossians. It goes back to Hebrews 1. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And again, the JWs mess that up and make Him a God. Turn over to John chapter 8. Turn over to John chapter 8. And go down to verse 58. We'll start with verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, talking about Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ talking. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I like that. Would you like to know what the JW's Bible teaches? Jesus said unto them, most truly I say to you, before Abraham came into existence, I have been. Now, the problem with that is John chapter 18. He said, before Abraham was, I am. That's called the tetragrammaton. And in Hebrew, and God told Moses, I am that I am, right? Verse chapter 18, and notice how this went. Who are you looking for in the garden? Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. He blew them over because he said what? I am he. I am. Boom! Like that. Now again, here we go. However, when Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. He didn't knock them over. They drew back and fell. Why did they fall? I guess they were sleepy. I don't know. Because he wasn't God. But they just mess it up, okay? But that's why it has to be I am. It can't be I have been or I was or something like that. Look in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. You should never be hesitant to get into an argument over the deity of Christ. Somebody thinks he's not God, doesn't have a leg to stand on. If you know where the verses are, if you have to get to a computer or something like that, or get to some notes, get to it. But, you know, they don't have a leg to stand on. John chapter 14. Go down to verse 9, John 14, 9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? Yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If you had seen Jesus Christ on this earth, you would have seen the Father, because he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In seeing him, you saw the Father. Look in chapter 10 of John, verse 30. Once again, we've already been over this, but I and my Father are one. Not one in purpose, but I and my Father are one, because right after that they take up stones to kill him. Why? Verse 33. For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They knew when he said, I and my Father are one, that he just said, I'm God. Now, you can't find in the Bible where Christ said, I am God. But they understood that's what it meant when he said, I'm the Son of God, or that I and my Father are one. He was saying, I'm God. And they're ready to kill him for it. Look in Colossians chapter 2. One more time, Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, Paul talking, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now let me just, I meant to show you something else. I'm sorry, besides that, I'll get back to that in a second. Look down in verse 9. That's where I meant to take you. I'm sorry. I got sidetracked in my notes. Now it's talking about Jesus Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Okay, the Godhead. So the Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's saying that in him, in Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead. He is fully Christ, fully God, and fully Spirit as well. The fullness of the Godhead. The JW's Bible says, and may have all the riches. No. Because it is in him that all fullness of the divine quality dwells bodily. Oh, exactly. What? Exactly. Now, what I wanted to take you for to chapter 2, verse 2, 4, going to now transition to showing you that the Holy Spirit is equally God. Doesn't have the same role, but He is God as well as God the Father and God the Son. Verse 2, that you being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Well, you have God the Father there, and you have God the Son there in Christ. Who does that other God part belong to? The Holy Spirit. That verse calls the Holy Spirit God. Right? Look further on down the list here. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. We were just there Sunday night, I know. Acts 5. Acts chapter 5. And Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of land. You know the story because I preached about it Sunday night. Lied in their hearts and tried to hornswoggle folks into thinking they're giving more than they are, or that they gave more than they really did. 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So he lied to God in verse 4, but he lied to the Holy Ghost in verse 3. What conclusion do you draw? The Holy Ghost is God, right? Look in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, this is not as strong a one, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. And they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, well, the Holy Ghost sent them out. Well, doesn't God send? I mean, isn't it God that sends? Well, the Holy Ghost is God. Now, I know that's not as strong as maybe the other. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, though. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look down in verse 11. Now, God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Look at that. God Himself and our Father, well, there's God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, well, there's God the Son. So who's God Himself? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Let me show you Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son unto your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, what I wanted to point out to you there, here's God sending the Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, right? But it's the Spirit of His Son. Well, who's His Son? Christ. What is Christ? He's God. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is Christ's Spirit. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of God is also the Spirit of Christ. And they're all God. Look in, if you want to see it again, look in Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Now, hopefully you don't get bored by this kind of theology, but I'm showing you that your Bible is a very exacting thing, and that all you need is to know the Bible. Okay? If you know the Bible, you've got JWs and Mormons on the run. You don't have to know a bunch of Greek and a bunch of Hebrew. In fact, you're wasting your time. What you need to know is the Bible. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, isn't he talking about the Holy Spirit? But he says it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Well, we know that Jesus Christ is God. Guess who the Holy Spirit is? Guess who the Spirit of Christ is? It's God. It's God. Look, and I don't want to just beat you to death all night with this, but look over in Romans 8 real fast. Romans 8. And verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It just equated the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God. Well, Christ is God. So the Holy Spirit is God. You see that? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. This passage on the scriptures and those prophets prophesying. They were confused about the timing because they were searching in verse 11 what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. They're wrestling over the suffering of Christ versus the glory of Christ, but it said that those Old Testament prophets were moved by the Spirit of Christ. Well, we know they were moved by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God was the Spirit of Christ. And we know that Christ was God. Hey, folks, God the Spirit is God as well. That's all I'm getting at. Okay, the final nails in the coffin, unless you have a new version. And then everything gets messed up. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. See, the key, if you're a heretic, is to change the Bible. Okay? So my question is, in Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, little quotation marks around Orthodox, when somebody starts changing what the Bible says, where's that headed? See what I mean? I mean, what's the difference between an Orthodox guy that's willing to change the Bible and a blatant heretic that's willing to change it? Well, it's just a difference of how far somebody's down the road. That's all it is. Okay, so here, a much disputed passage in manuscript evidence. There's no reason for it. I can't give you all that tonight. But this passage reads just as it should. Okay, look down in verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood. He came by the water birth. That's what John 3 was talking about, okay? He came by both water and spirit, right? I mean, the water birth is your mother's water breaks. It's your physical birth. Christ physically came, and the water birth bore witness to that. But he came not only by water, but by blood, because in his veins was the blood of God himself, right? Verse 6. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, capital W, Christ, plainly John 1, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Holy Ghost and Christ are God. And most all of verse 7, all of the part of verse 7 that deals in detail in the Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost are missing in most all of the New Bibles and in the JW Bible. In fact, it reads, "For there are three witness bearers," and then it goes straight to verse 8. Sucked them right out of there and used a lie out of manuscript evidence to say that it didn't belong, when that was what proved that there's a Trinity, a Godhead. God the Father, God the Word, and God the Holy Ghost. So that's a pretty good chunk of stuff for somebody to see, that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He was God, and the Holy Ghost is God as well. Got a lot more to go, but we're not going to embark upon that. I still want to cover the fact that, not tonight, that the JWs don't believe that Jesus Christ rose bodily from the dead. They believe it was a spiritual resurrection, so Christ did not rise from the dead. They also do not believe that his return is literal. In fact, believe it or not, they believe he returned in 1914. Hey, this is the kingdom. Came back in 1914. And then we got to deal with that hell issue, that pesky hell issue. And we will. But hopefully I can work all that in next time around, and we can be done with JWs and go do something else. Any questions or comments?